Welcome to Obesity, a Disease, the official Obesity Medicine Association podcast, exploring the many facets of the disease of obesity. I'm Mark Labriola, and in this episode, Dr. Nicholas Pennings interviews Dr. Karen Herbst about the connection between obesity and lipedema and treatment options for lipedema. Obesity, a Disease podcast is brought to you by the Obesity Medicine Association, the clinical leader in obesity medicine.
I have with us today Dr. Karen Herbst. Dr. Herbst is a board-certified endocrinologist and associate professor and director of the Treatment Research Education of Adipose Tissue Program, also known as TREAT, in the College of Medicine at the University of Arizona and Banner University. Dr. Herbst is a specialist in a condition called lipedema. So let's just start out with that. What is lipedema, and how can providers differentiate it from women who have obesity?
Thank you, Nick, for inviting me to the podcast. So women who have lipedema are different from women who have obesity in that the excess fat tissue in lipedema is primarily present on the lower part of the body, but more importantly, it's painful fat. So women with obesity tend not to have painful fat, and the lipedema fat also causes increased bruising, which is also not present in obesity. And most importantly, there is a difference between the amount of fat that's present on the trunk in lipedema compared to the lower legs. So there's a great disproportion, which is usually not found with obesity. In women who are living with obesity, they tend to have increased fat on the abdomen as well. And finally, it is very difficult for women with lipedema to lose fat from the legs, whereas for women with obesity, they can lose fat from both the abdomen and the legs.
So in these patients, you see a abnormal distribution of fat with increased amounts of lower body fat, typically below the umbilicus, extending from the hips, maybe down through the thighs, even all the way down to the calves. And then they also have it in the arms at times as well.
They do. They have it in the arms approximately 80% of the time. And also importantly, women with lipedema do not have fat on their hands and feet. In fact, when you look at the feet, you see right above it what we call a cuff of fat. And it's just a outcropping of the fat right at the level of the ankle. And that is also something that is generally not seen in women who have obesity.
Okay. And then also in the arms too, that cuffing is around the wrist. And the hands look normal as well, is that right?
That's absolutely correct.
Great, great. So how do you differentiate it from something called lymphedema?
So unfortunately, lipedema and lymphedema sound very similar. The important distinction between the two is that in lymphedema, the hands and feet are affected. So you are going to see an increased amount of fat tissue and fluid on the feet and or hands in people living with lymphedema, whereas in lipedema, the hands and feet are unaffected. Also, there is pitting edema. So when you press onto the tissue in lymphedema, it's going to pit in, whereas in lipedema, generally, it is non-pitting until later stages when women are at risk for developing lymphedema along with the lipedema.
Okay. How about symmetry on the body? Is that different?
Absolutely. So women with lipedema have increased fat in a that is symmetrical. So both legs are affected similarly or both arms are affected similarly, whereas in lymphedema, that tends to be asymmetric, although in primary lymphedema, you can see a symmetric swelling of the lower legs.
But if it's asymmetric, then that would make it more likely lymphedema.
It would make it more likely lymphedema, but I will just caution in women who are in later stages of lipedema, they can develop asymmetry because they have developed lymphedema.
So in your experience, how do patients with lipedema respond to dietary interventions and physical activity?
So diet and physical activity are two things that I discuss with all of my patients with lipedema because they are at great risk for obesity. And the way they usually respond to diet and exercise is that they lose fat primarily from the trunk, but the fat on the legs and arms remains relatively unaffected. However, I will say that women who have severe obesity and lipedema do tend to lose some fat from the legs when they undergo lifestyle changes such as diet and exercise.
So some, but they tend not to lose all the fat
Correct.
That they're looking to lose.
And that disproportion becomes even more significant with the legs being much larger than the trunk.
So they hit a plateau at a pretty high level many times?
They do. They can hit a plateau. They hit a very high plateau for the legs. They can actually lose almost all the fat on their trunk.
Okay. How effective is a low-carb or ketogenic type diet for treating lipedema?
I use low-carb diets primarily for helping my patients with lipedema lose their obese weight. I either use a plant-based anti-inflammatory low-carbohydrate diet, or I do recommend the ketogenic diet and variations of the ketogenic diet, and both work very well for helping them lose that obese fat compared to their lipedema fat.
Okay. So some patients with lipedema are treated with surgery. Who are candidates for surgery, and what type of surgery is used to treat lipedema?
So unfortunately, we don't have a lot of good medical therapies for treating lipedema. A woman who has a lot of pain in her fat tissue, or a woman who has developed dysmobility due to the increased lipedema fat tissue on the inner thighs, around the knees, around the lower legs, in my opinion, is a good candidate for liposuction. And we call this lymph-sparing liposuction, and we consider it medically necessary for lipedema for women who do have the conditions of increased painful fat and dysmobility, along with a diagnosis of lipedema. And there are different types of liposuction that are used for the treatment of lipedema. Most of this has been studied in Europe and not in the United States, but I believe that both water jet-assisted liposuction and tumescent types of liposuction are appropriate for the treatment of lipedema.
And what you're speaking to also is the amount of disability that can be created with this excess body fat that accumulates in the lower extremities, how it impacts mobility and quality of life. And those are indications for surgery. So that, because many insurance companies look at it as more liposuction as a cosmetic procedure. And in reality here, we're really using it to treat the disability that's created by this.
That is absolutely correct. And a lot of the studies in Germany have shown improved quality of life after liposuction for ladies who have lipedema.
Do patients with lipedema respond to bariatric surgery?
So unfortunately, the lipedema fat does not respond to bariatric surgery. However, I do recommend bariatric surgery for my patients with lipedema who also have a component of obesity. And unfortunately, obesity worsens lipedema, and lipedema increases your risk for developing obesity. So I do think bariatric surgery is an absolute appropriate treatment for women with lipedema and obesity who have already tried lifestyle change and other medications. And I think it follows the same rules that have been outlined for many societies for bariatric surgery.
Do you want to comment a little bit about the role of supplements in treating patients with lipedema?
Sure. So unfortunately, we have no large randomized controlled trials for the use of any type of medication or any type of supplement for the treatment of lipedema. However, we do think there's a microangiopathy in lipedema, so we do recommend supplements that are going to improve the quality of the vasculature. And these include supplements such as diazomen, which comes from the rind of citrus fruit, and other bioflavonoids of your choice, resveratrol, which has been shown to inhibit the development of fibrosis, grapeseed extract, horse chestnut seed extract, which has been shown in hundreds of publications to improve vein disease. And there are a number of other supplements. I think it would be hard to talk about them all because, again, we have very little evidence to support their use.
That's great. Where can people find out more about lipedema? What resources do you recommend?
So they can find out more about lipedema on our website, which is treat.medicine.arizona.edu. I also have a personal website called lipomadoc.org. There's also fatdisorders.org, which is for the Fat Disorders Resource Society. And there's also a lipedema.org, which is supported by the Lipedema Foundation.
Well, thank you very much for spending some time with us today and educating us more on what lipedema is.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Pennings and Herbst. For more information about Obesity Medicine podcasts and other resources from the clinical leader in obesity medicine, please visit obesitymedicine.org/podcasts. Love this episode of Obesity, a Disease? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. The views expressed in this podcast episode are those of the show hosts and do not necessarily represent the opinions, beliefs, or policies of the Obesity Medicine Association or its members. Please check back soon for another episode of Obesity, a Disease.